I can't stand people. I hate them.
Oh, yeah?
You hate them?
No, but I seem to feel better when they're not around. Hey, barkeep, two scotch and waters. Like, what do?
I drink.
And do you think that person hates people? Or do you think that person is running their whole life from whom? From themselves. And it's very possible that there could have been abusive people in that person's life. That's a drop from, Barfly. Could there have been abusive people in that person's life? Of course there could have been. Could there have been difficulties within that person, which is what I was suggesting earlier? Yes, there could have been. And many times when people turn to alcohol to drown out their feelings, to really deaden their emotions because they don't want to feel the negative emotions, they don't want to feel any negative, they use it more, they're running away from themselves. They use it more as a, I don't like this term, but a social lubricant. They're running away from themselves. And we all know the outcome. It's not a solution. If you want good solutions, you want to look at your ideas about people. You want to look at them. Are you feeling like you would be happier with your pets and not with people? Because you're just afraid of people, or because you've been hurt by them, or because you hate them on some level? You don't want to go through life like that. I'm Dr. Ellen Kenner, and my show is The Rational Basis of Happiness. My number is toll-free, 1-877-DR-KENNER. That's toll-free, 1-877-DR-KENNER. And you can also visit my website for podcasts or articles I've written or books I've recommend, drkenner.com. And right now, I'd like to welcome Roger to the show. Roger, you're feeling some anxiety.
Yes, hi, doctor.
Hi. Tell me what's going on in your life.
Well, as I told your call screener there, just I don't really know the exact words to use to describe the situation. Just real, I guess, social anxiety, just like the guy from the short ad there.
Okay.
Just basically an impossible situation to meet people. Like I said, I'm gay.
Okay.
And basically kind of a repeat every single time I try and meet somebody. I meet somebody through my group of friends or through my work. You know, I like them, but there's just no way to, you know, take that any further. I have two options. I can either lose a friend or say nothing, so I just prefer to say nothing.
Okay, so your coping strategy is avoidance, right?
Basically.
Right, and when you do reach out, it's awkward for you. It's not like you feel like it's a second nature for you.
That's correct.
So you would like to meet more people at work, or as you said, through friends, and be able to obviously overcome the social anxiety and to make some friends?
That would be part of it.
Okay, and the other is what?
To have a relationship, I mean.
Oh, so you're looking for a romantic relationship, another gay relationship,
yeah.
And that you feel very awkward basically coming out of the closet and talking with people, or figuring out how to go about finding a partner.
Right, it's just an impossibility as far as I see it.
Okay. If you're telling yourself it's an impossibility, that's based on your attempts, correct?
Correct.
Because it's failed. But do you know any, I'm glad you're laughing, because what that does is that releases that idea from you. It won't have as strong a hold on you. And do you know anybody, I certainly do, I know people who have been in very satisfying long-term gay or lesbian relationships. Do you know any such people?
No, ma'am.
Okay, so I'm luckier than you are. So I know that long-term healthy, I'm assuming you're wanting a serious relationship, just not just a one-night stand?
Yeah.
Okay. If right. you want that, it really helps to know that people can have healthy same-sex relationships, partnerships for a lifetime. And you want to also know, not that it's possible to Tom, Dick, and Harry or Susan and Jane, it's also possible for you. Unless there's something I need to know about you, it sounds like this. It's possible for you. Go ahead.
I think part of it is I'm not willing to give up my outward appearance of normality to friends and coworkers for that goal.
Okay, so really you're at odds with the culture, and you're. I know what that feeling is like to hold ideas that are different from everybody else. For example, if I went to a foreign country, you know, I did once go to, to the Far East. This is maybe a decade ago. And I like wearing mini skirts when it's like 90 degrees out. And they don't like to see knees, and so they were trying to, you know, it was a clash of cultures. And if you come out as a gay person at work, what consequences might there be for you?
Basically, it runs the gambit, you know, anything you can think of. I certainly don't know of one person that would still speak to me. I'd tell you what field it was.
No, don't tell me for the privacy,
right.
For your own privacy. But let's say you
right.
worked at a church and
right.
you came out as gay. You can see where that would be a huge clash of values. And then it
right.
is a very difficult decision, and that is a hard thinking problem. Do you want to tell anybody your position, or will they use it against you in a very unjust manner? Dismiss you because of your sexual preferences, or maybe they're afraid of it within themselves and they run away from you. For whatever reason, if people start treating you strangely, that's really hard. Now, there are some people that just come out in the open and do that. Look at Ellen DeGeneres.
Right, and her situation is a little different. She has a television show, billions of dollars, and, you know, has multiple companies that she owns. I don't think she would lack for friends. So I hope that she hasn't.
Right. And so. What about, and so you're in a bind that you can't reach out to the gay community or to people that would be potential partners because you run the risk at any moment of being exposed.
That would be great.
So that's a huge decision, and it would be awful for you to deprive yourself of a romantic life. So what I would recommend is, you don't have a lot of options with your job. This is your career. This is your chosen field. This is where you want to work, or is it a temporary job?
No, this is most likely a career. So.
Okay, so if you're in a career, what you want to do is try to keep the two worlds, either come out just openly and don't apologize. Just, you don't have to come out and tell everybody, but if they find out, it's no big deal. You just don't broadcast it. You don't, you might not, if you don't want to bring the two worlds together, you know, I know people who don't bring their partners to some events, as sad as that is, but they value their they don't want to fight the battle in their life, you know. But you can still have a private life. It is going to be harder to meet people because what if your partner wants to come out in the open?
That's another issue.
What if they want you to be an activist? You know, so you still can do the shopping, and I don't mean that in a crude way, because I think of it. Do you know I wrote a book on romance with Dr. Ed Locke? I'm not sure if you're aware of that.
I did not know that.
Oh, you can go to the website. It's got an intriguing name. It's called The Selfish Path to Romance: How to Love with Passion and Reason. And it's by myself, Ellen Kenner, and Ed Locke. And you can go to the website, drkenner.com. What I recommend for you is writing down all of the benefits of both of your values, the dating and the conflict that you're having. I don't see it as social anxiety. I see it as a cultural difficulty that you're having, a realistic one. And then you need to weigh those values and figure out a strategy that works for you so you can possibly have both values. Listen, I thank you so much for your call, and if you hold on, I'll talk with you during the break. I'm Dr. Ellen Kenner on the Rational Basis of Happiness.
Here's an excerpt from The Selfish Path to Romance, the Serious Romance Guidebook by clinical psychologist Dr. Ellen Kenner and co-author Dr. Edwin Locke.
So how does one actually go about understanding one's partner? Mainly through talking and everyday observation. Partners also communicate by touching, and for the more eloquent ones, by writing romantic letters or poems. Of course, saying that partners should communicate is not an original idea. It's in virtually every book on love ever written. But it is amazing how many couples have problems in this realm. Many partners don't make communication a conscious priority. Some feel their loved one should just know what they're thinking. Communication can be undermined by fear, and partners may lack communication skills.
You can download Chapter 1 for free by going to drkenner.com, and you can buy The Selfish Path to Romance at amazon.com.